Aloha and welcome everyone to Making Love Visible. My name is June Dillinger and I'm so glad that you joined us on this podcast today. I have another female attorney. Something's going on with me that I have all these fantastic attorneys with lots to say, and I think you're really going to enjoy her. Her name is Virginia Warren. And she is another blessed soul that I happen to have met through actually Nadia Gilks, who was on the previous interview. And she said, June, you need to speak with Virginia. She's an attorney. She's written a book. She's all about love and she handles divorce. And your book is called The Benefit of the Ex, Making Love Visible When Everything Changes, Get Connected. So Virginia, welcome to Making Love Visible.
Thanks so much, June. Great to be here on your show. Thank you again. And yeah, love is my jam. So that's what we love to talk about. And we need to bring more love into the world doing that, don't we?
I love that. Love is my germ. I think I might have to be a user of that statement. That's so cool. So tell me and our audience a little bit about your career and why love and law are getting a hit by you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know if you want to hear it from the beginning, but
I do. Get where you are today?
How did I get here?
Your book cover is a super sexy shot of you with these leopard heels holding your book. I'm like, I need to get back and get a new photo shoot reel done because that is hot. So yeah. So what's it all about? Give us a skinny.
Yeah, the leopard print shoes have a real meaning for me, and it's a laugh because I think life is a laugh. And what happened to me was one day, I become a partner in a law firm, and it's a long story in the synchronicities in life got me to this place. I'm a later lawyer in life with a lot of life experience. But there I am, a partner in a law firm, walking down the main street of my town one day in my lunch break. And I have on my beautiful suit and leopard print heels. And I go to the pedestrian crossing and I trip and fall and I end up on my hands and knees in the middle of the crossing. Now you can imagine how embarrassing that is. I was hoping those stripes on the crossing would open up and swallow me whole, but they didn't. And so a man had to get out of his car and pick me up because I couldn't move. I was just like, I'm going to die of embarrassment here. Anyway, I got over that and I had to go to my chiropractor because, I'd really hurt my knees. Now, I've been walking in heels all my life. There was nothing there. I think the angels tripped me over to change my direction. Yes. That's what I say. And so I go to my chiropractor and he said, Virginia, you need to do yoga for your bruised ego and knees. And I thought, oh, yoga, that'll be like watching paint dry. You see, I was more of a Zumba girl. You know, I was out there, you know, doing this, shaking that thing and doing everything else. And so I went off to my first yoga class dutifully, and gee, I was shocked. I was so absolutely taken by what I thought was a few breaths and a few stretches making me feel so good. I didn't understand that. And so with that, then I went off to, like any good lawyer would, I wanted evidence. So I went off and did a diploma, a 12-month diploma in yoga teaching. To learn why that was. And I came across all these beautiful philosophies, and one that I couldn't bring back to my legal practice. When I got into that space then, when I started embodying this idea, it was called ahimsa in yoga, which means non-harm. And I thought, how can I bring non-harm into legal practice? And that's when the journey really started for me. And that was 2012. It's nearly 10 years later, and I've done a lot in this space and studied a lot of philosophies. But what I got from it all was there's one underlying thread, because there was a lot of, you know, ritualization of all sort of different philosophies on the planet. And I got from it all that we're all connected at a fundamental level. And that connection is foundationally based in love. And so that's really where I came from that point of view. And one thing that resonated with me the most in all these philosophies was shamanism. And shamanism is really about finding the self, finding the fragments of self, moving back to love, to become whole again, because all our unconscious beliefs are fragmenting us. And the way I looked at it, I thought, oh my goodness, lawyers, we have before us the people bringing conflict to the table, which is showing us the fragments that people can't see in themselves. Why aren't we using that? Why aren't lawyers becoming first responders, healers, effectively? And I thought to myself, how on earth am I going to bring non-harm into legal practice? Because effectively, legal practice is underpinned by fear. All law on the planet is underpinned by fear. I don't know whether many people actually know that. All the documents, all the legislation, all the contracts, everything has in it me versus you. And if you do something, I'm going to punish you for it. So that's what's guiding us. Some people say I'm just going off track a little bit here, but I just want to put this part in because this is what was a revelation to me, that if we're all thinking from the place of we have to act in a certain way, otherwise we'll be punished, we're afraid. We're all living our lives in fear. There's an underlying fear going on rather than the freedom of being our authentic loving selves. And so this is causing conflict. So this idea of ahimsa was very difficult for me to reconcile with legal practice. So, and there was one particular area of my studies, because the concept of ahimsa was beautiful, but then I went into all these other beautiful philosophies. And one that stood out to me was shamanism. And shamanism talks about how we're fragmented. And they say that we as humans come into this world perfectly and we fragment because we might, and I say it's by being given rules, say, you know, boys don't cry. That's a rule. So then a boy doesn't know how to emotionally mature his sadness. It gets frozen at 3 years old. Don't cry. Yes. So that part of him doesn't mature. He can't bring that into the now and be an emotionally mature man, having experienced all that is about sadness or whatever other emotion that he's not allowed to express. And the same with women. Women don't get angry. Don't assert yourselves, be nice. You know, that was, you know, the sort of the rules that a lot of young girls were given. And of course, then we can't emotionally mature our anger. We don't know how to do that. We'll just suppress it. Oh, I'm not angry. You know, those sorts of things. So this is fragmentation. So we've fragmented parts. We've left parts of ourselves back in time. So effectively, we're not whole anymore. And of course, when we're feeling like that, we get into a conflict. Because, for example, if you're a young man and you go out into society and something makes you feel sad and you can't feel sad, you're going to get angry, aren't you? If you can't express those emotions, you're going to get angry at that. Or women are going to enable some behavior because they're not allowed to be angry about it. They're not allowed to assert a boundary, if you like. So then we engage in all this behavior that's not authentic. And then, of course, a conflict arises later because you think, hang on a minute, you know, I don't like that anger that you're projecting, the woman says to the man, because anger is unacceptable. That's what they told me when I was a kid.
There's such an interesting statement that you made a moment ago about people that, and correct me if I'm wrong, people that go to seek an attorney come in fear. But they're actually in search for love. Yeah. Something similar to that. It reminds me, yesterday I heard a statement, people don't go to the hardware store to buy a drill. They go to the hardware store to buy a hole. Right? So there's that in between glue, if you will, or the muck of the message or whatever is rolling around in there that needs to be addressed, not particularly with the hardware and the drill, but the drill and the hole, but that same scenario that there's that in-between minutia or thought process that needs to be addressed. And for me to connect love and law feels like a huge leap, Virginia. So yes. You gotta tighten up the core for
sure.
me.
Sure, That's it. So what's happening is people are coming in with a conflict. Now, ordinarily, what they're wanting to say is, oh, you hurt me. I want to blame you for that. I want validation. And they give it to the lawyer here, fix it for me. They give it to their lawyer, their parent again, because this is the thing. We're not being able to parent ourselves. So we're going to the legal system and say, you be my parent. You know what to do. I don't know what to do. Blame them. And then I'll move on with my life.
But if they never take care of the issue.
No, that's right. And then this is why we have recidivism, and why we know that people that move from one patterned relationship to another, one sort of bad relationship to the next bad relationship, you think, why do they do that? It's because they're running a pattern and they haven't been able to resolve the internal rules they're carrying, the internal conflict. But a lawyer has the ability to see that. You bring that conflict to a lawyer, and a lawyer can see effectively that the rule that you've created, the unconscious belief that you have, because it's sitting right in front of you. All your beliefs are reflected back at you. But the thing is, most people can't see it because it's unconscious. We, you know, for others, it's quite obvious what's going on with you, but you can't see it. And that's part of the fun game of it. It's finding that again. And the thing is, from fear, a fear-based system, we are moving. We're trying to find love at all times. So we're born into love. And then we're trying to find those fragments. This is what I believe to be the journey, is that you're fragmented as a young person. You go out into the world effectively like a Hansel and Gretel story, trying to pick up the crumbs and trying to find the pieces again to become whole, to move yourself back to love. Now, people do things because they feel better in the doing of it. So that might look bad to somebody else, but effectively, no, that felt better for me at the time to take that action. It gave me some relief from the pain I was feeling. And so that's it. I believe all humans are all looking for love. That's why we get up in the morning, what we do. Every single situation I can think of is saying that to me.
So in this, how has your practice, your law practice, evolved over the course of the past 10 years? And I know you've got another creation that I'd like to hear about too, in addition to a little bit more about your book as well.
Yeah, well, the thing is, the legal practice it was very difficult to bring this idea into a traditional legal practice, because people come in with the idea of, I want to blame somebody.
I'm here to fight.
I want to be right. Yeah, yeah. I'm here to fight. I want to be right. You win for me. That's what lawyers do. I'll pay you money. You go and win. But what's winning for a start? Win, lose, everyone loses effectively, because you don't profit. A client doesn't profit at all from that experience. They might, it just destroys, it disconnects. Fear, all fear disconnects. Love reconnects. So to bring that into my legal practice over the years has been challenging, to say the least. But that said, I've shifted the way I've approached my clients. So I might give them a little clue about, okay, so why are you thinking that? Why are you feeling that? How do you feel? I mean, these are questions lawyers don't even ask their clients. How are you feeling? Because we're trained not to get involved in the emotional side of it. And I laugh about that, because I think, you see, lawyers are trained in left brain logic, and they're given a set of problems without any emotion in it. So effectively, what you've got is half a human dealing with half a problem. Now, what is that? You know, who solves that? And I say you need a higher level of consciousness than that which created the problem to resolve it. So to do that, I've helped clients over the time gently shift their perspective, in that this is about your life experience, your reaction to life. If you can examine how you're reacting to the other person, that other person came into your life for a very important reason. You've attracted them. Now, I can say this because particularly, you know, people say, oh, well, why did I attract this violent man or whatever? I did. Now, mine wasn't physically violent. It was emotionally abusive relationship, psychologically abusive. But... and you don't know it when you're in it, But then what I saw was, and I was recently in the family court system myself, and I sat in a room, a safe room, with other women who were subject to domestic violence. And I looked around at them and I said, you know what? Guess what? We're all enablers. And I could have heard a pin drop at that moment. And then I said to them, we didn't have to choose this relationship. We all know perfectly well we stepped into this space with another man that we thought perhaps we could change if we loved him more, if we were nicer, or if we did something else, everything would be good, because that's the rule we've been carrying with us. Mm-hmm. So we've enabled it. Now, of course, the longer that goes on, the more that energy is enmeshed, you're more codependent, and it's more difficult to remove yourself, because the longer you're in, that it is energy that when you pull it apart, it will hurt.
Yes.
And sometimes that can hurt more than, you know, physically than we would like. But yeah, so, you know, it can be very serious.
Yeah, it makes me think of the group Al-Anon, which is the support group, so to speak, for AA. And it's for codependence. And I often think it should be changed, the subtitle should be a return to self-love, because it's almost like you go there for learning about how to deal with an alcoholic, but it has nothing to deal with them. It has everything to do with you and how you as a codependent are behaving. I have loved that group and participated and have been a grateful member for quite some time due to a relationship that with somebody that wasn't a sober alcoholic, but he also said to me, June, I'm not going to hang out with you or play with you if you don't go to Al-Anon. And so he took responsibility for himself, and I learned more about me than I could care to say, still on that. So, yeah. I want to just circle back to law and love with regard to your practice per se, because there's such an emotional touch point. So you must attract clients that come to you based on your beingness, and they heard this is a lawyer in love, or they know about your foundation, your organization. Are you enjoying your practice more?
Yeah, absolutely, because I'm being of service, which many lawyers have lost that. It's because you're not allowed to deal, they say, you know, don't get emotionally involved, but lawyers haven't been given the tools to deal with the emotion. It's basically get your own vibration, get your own alignment first, so that then other energies can't penetrate your space. So you can hold the safe space for another, and that is really vital. And there's a lot of training yet to be done, and that's not well known. So this is why lawyers tend to separate themselves emotionally and be cold when it comes to dealing in these sorts of situations. They don't want to get involved because they feel that they're carrying the emotion of it all. And that is a very heavy burden for people to have to carry everybody else's crisis, if you like. But when you can turn it around and show the person, actually, this is for your benefit. Everything that's happening to you right now, you will profit from personally if you look at it from a different point of view. And so that is exciting, not only for the lawyer, because you feel like you're really giving something back,
yes,
but it's very exciting for the client as well, because I think, wow, because your life is just your experience of it. The family law matter you're going through is there for you. It's for you. This is your life. Don't avoid it. Don't say, oh, I want to be under a rock until it's all over. No, forget that. Jump right in and say, look at this challenge. I've been given this amazing opportunity to find myself.
That's exactly.
It has nothing to do with the other person. Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what my book, The Benefit of the X, is about. It's not about claiming victim or he or she did that to me. It's taking ownership and saying, nobody twisted my arm to walk down the altar. And now that I chose, What part about that can I grow from? What are the benefits from having been in that, both good and bad? What do I not want to repeat? And what were the good parts that I can take away? This brings me to a point in law and with your practice. What are other attorneys saying about you, and how How are you infiltrating the system with love?
Well, this is beautiful because it is tricky. Love is the L word, the four letter word that nobody wants to talk about. It doesn't have a definition in law. You know, it doesn't have a definition, and lawyers for love are giving it one. So we're a bit, you know, I suppose arrogant, if you like, and we're giving love a definition because the ego needs a definition to work with. But if we look at it from the point of view that love and fear cannot exist in the one space, we say that love is a state of being. It's simply a beingness that exists without fear. So fear is meaning really you have rules, unconscious beliefs about yourself that aren't true. So you don't feel good, essentially. So every time you get a little negative emotion, that's a fear. So if you have no fears at all, you just feel awesome and you're just floating around. Okay, so that's what we call a state of being as love, but it operates, and it does operate, for the highest good of all in every moment. So it's got two little components to it, if we want to put a legal definition around it. And when we're showing people what that is, it's just so we can bring you back to love by picking up the fragments that you lost as a child, the rules that you created, that's fragmented you. And you move back to love. Now you do that using the legal system. So lawyers, as I said, could really benefit from this. But to answer your question, it's a scary place to be in because lawyers weren't trained in it. Lawyers have an identity that and it's obvious, you know, we are trained and trained and trained to hold an ego space of I am a lawyer and this is how we do things. But as we're finding that system is no longer serving, lawyers are tending to look elsewhere. Now, I also have a little show called Love and Law, where I interview lawyers that are bringing their own unique brand of love into legal practice. And it's just so awesome to see they're stepping forward and say, yeah, me, I'm doing it too. I'm doing it because people want it. And the more the public wants love and wants to be, understands that to blame somebody else is not the answer anymore. If you're blaming someone else, you're not helping yourself. Everything you are doing, all your whole life is your reaction to it. I can't say that enough. Mm-hmm. So if you're reacting negatively, it's for you. It's your work. So if someone could yell at me and call me an absolute idiot right now and say, oh, good, okay. Yeah, so I'm an idiot. So what? You know, what? What? Mm-hmm. It's not to affect me. And that is the ultimate state of being where nothing can affect you. Nobody can say anything about you because you think, oh, that's not true. You know, you don't even know me. So that's based on your rules. That's your system, which says I'm an idiot, you know?
Yeah. I'm curious too. Are there other lawyers that, this is a twofold thing, that say, oh, this is a bunch of hoo ha ha. And yeah. Are there other lawyers that are like, she's on to something. I need to know more. We need her to come be the keynote speaker. Lawyers that are looking for personal self-care in an inquiry into the dynamic of how is she doing it? Not for the sake of money, but for the sake of love for everyone as a win-win with her clients. So tell me a little bit about those two sides of the law, if you will.
There's the lawyer that says this is absolute nonsense because they cannot see how that's going to work in this system. And that's correct. They are right. In the current system, you cannot bring love into a fear-based system. You can be loving in it, but you can't change the system as it is. What you have to do is operate separately from the system. And this is effectively what I'm doing with my clients, is saying, okay, step out. I won't litigate. But if you're litigating, I'll be there as a coach, if you like, a law coach. But I'm not a lawyer. I'm not giving you legal advice because that's fear-based advice. Mm-hmm. What I'm giving you is wisdom, saying, okay, everything that you're encountering at this moment is for your highest good. Let's play with that. And we find the rules and we're helping them to come back to love. So basically we're just using their life as their roadmap back to love. And so if they're in the legal system, they will use the lawyers that are litigating that can't do anything else. And of course you have the other side to all this. So if your partner has chosen to litigate, you don't have a choice. You're in there. But that is for your highest good. So that's from one point of view. From there are lawyers that will stay in the space of, I'm here for my identity, it's success status. That is my that is my idea of happiness. And many of them get, despite studies, now there are studies out there now that have been recently done in the States, which say those lawyers that choose success from a place of autonomy and authenticity will feel better in the end. But the trouble is the system sucks you in. So you get sucked into the energy vortex of everybody around you striving for success. Now, if you're different, you don't fit that energy. So you either need to move out or you stay with them, one or the other. It's just as simple as that. And they find toward the end that they're not feeling as happy as what they thought they could. So this is for them to work out. I'm not criticizing that system. It's just a system. But it's based in fear, and that it's driven by the financial reward of the status. That's okay. And it is all fear. Everybody's unhappy and they want the next thing. They're looking for something externally to them to complete them. However, this is just a different space. It is a state of being. You exist. You are in love. You are in that space. So then you exude it, and then that energy is then transferred to another.
Yes. I just had an interesting thought, and it's sort of like a two-sided coin here. Somebody picks up my book because they're like, yeah, right, I can't believe what would the benefit of my ex be? And then they think to themselves, you know what, I really need an attorney that could see it this way. And the next thing I know, they call Virginia Warren or your organization with that location here in Honolulu or down there in Australia. And I really like the idea that, or somebody calls you and they say, you know, I've heard about you. And you say, fantastic. And I've got a book that'll work with you to help you heal thereafter. I'm just thinking about that. There's, because once you there's a little tiny opening where I'll speak for my, once I have a little tiny opening in my mindset, all of a sudden it wants to, I feel like there's an asking of more of me. What more is there? I'm more intrigued. I want to know more. I want to get deeper into it. And from a place of enlightenment and how I grow myself, I continue to reach for the edge. I continue to want to dance on that edge so that I can remain awake and aware as much as possible. And so having this conversation with an attorney, a divorce attorney, who is bringing love into the conversation and into the world of law is huge. So besides affecting your personal practice, tell me about the big picture and what's going on for you.
Well, you see, yes, Lawyers for Love is a global organization because love is non-jurisdictional. That's the beautiful thing. Whilst we have
in, use that. I love the word jurisdictional and love. Non-jurisdictional. So is there a website? Lawyers for love.
Yes. And people can connect with us through there, which is beautiful if you want to know more about our work, because we're researching things for lawyers to see how lawyers, if they're using these methods, how they'll be happier in their legal practice. And so we're training lawyers in that space as well. It's for clients that want to connect with a lawyer in that space. That can hold space for them and show them how their conflict is benefiting them, like the benefit of the ex, exactly the same thing. But this is using the legal system to profit from that as a client. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we are also working with people like nonprofits because we say, as I said before, all the documents have got fear in them. You know, it's punishment. If you don't do this, then this will happen. Rather than thinking of everything, all decisions being made in love. And we pop a clause in documents saying love is of the essence, meaning that every decision you make in your organization or that is to be made in the organization or in relation to a contract is to be made from a place of love. And of course, the definition is a state of being without fear for the highest good of all. So if you're sitting in a boardroom and you're thinking, I'm afraid of what that person on the board's going to say, well, then you all shouldn't be there because your organization isn't creative. It isn't moving forward. Everyone's too afraid to be themselves and bring their authentic perspective to the table. So by dropping all fears, we're dropping all agendas. and then we're able to, for the organization, move forward for the highest good of all. And that's creation, because you have everyone's heart on the table, you know.
Oh, I just got goosebumps, or chicken skin, as we call it here in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Love, love, love is of the essence. Something so foundational and grounding about that, just that singular statement. Love is of the essence.
That's what we found. That's what we thought, because you see, lawyers traditionally put into documents time is of the essence. And we sat there one day and we thought, no, time isn't of the essence. That's a fear thing. Love is of the essence. And we call it Leotech. So it's love is of the essence consciousness, which is the essential consciousness is love. So it's the new technology, because love is a technology. People don't realize that.
Boy, is it ever.
Yeah, it's a technology. And as soon as people sort of think as all these machines as technology, no, love is a technology. It's an energy. It can be used to benefit humans. And so that is, I think we need to say that more as a technology.
Oh, I just had a thought. We should do a talk together. I actually, one of my talks is on the IQ, the EQ, the AI, and the LQ. You know,
okay.
all of the quotients, yeah. All of the intellects. Yeah. It's an interesting conversation, because indeed love is of the essence, and there is a consciousness level around it that gets evaporated when I don't have my needs met, when I'm afraid that something's not going to go my way, instead of allowing to trust the process and see what could possibly unfold by what my spirit is calling forward, or what my true being is calling forward, by actually being present, very, very present to what is. And
what you just said, your true being, that excites me so much, because people don't realize every rule that you're carrying with you takes you away from your authenticity. Effectively, you're carrying someone else's rule with you to say, this is how I live my life, because someone else said this, I have to not cry, I have to not be angry. So if you've dropped all that and you come back to you, that's your true essence. And of course, there can only be one you on the planet. So that is gold for everybody, because we need every individual to fill the gaps. So we've got the complete picture. People don't understand. I don't need to be you, or you don't need to be me, or cookie cutter, this and that. No, just start being self. Self, self, self is what is required here, so that we can grow and we can bring everything we need to grow as humanity.
I have a funny little thought. It just popped up. I'm thinking about your leopard shoes in that fantastic photograph of you. And leopard shoes could conjure up all kinds of love situations, right?
Yeah.
And I like how the sexy, hot love look, the smashing woman you, I can't begin to imagine what it was like once you trip and fall and got your heel stuck in the grill. But that it took looking and feeling and that sexy, hot love look of you to fall down flat, get to the chiropractor, get to become a certified yoga instructor as a lawyer, to discover self-love first, and then move from himsa to shamanism to the creation of lawyersforlove.love. Thanks to a high-heeled shoe that you were committed to wearing to change your life.
The commitment. I mean, yeah, you know.
How was that for a nutshell? Like,
that was beautiful. Yeah, my commitment to high heels was something.
Yeah, the high heels change. The high heels for love.
Yeah, that's it.
An amazing story. So tell me, we've got a little bit more time. I want to hear about your organization.
Yes. So Lawyers for Love, we are a global organization, and we have set up a laboratory firm. It's a virtual firm online, and that's what we're doing. We're training lawyers to understand how to hold space, to come back to their authentic self, to find who they are firstly, because that is really, really the question here. Most of them have no idea that their self has been trained out of them. So they've got to find that self first. And then they will be shown how to deliver these services to a client. And that will then in turn help them feel autonomous and authentic, so that they will then move forward. Because lawyers are really intelligent beings. They have been taught perspective already. You are seeing everybody else's side of the story, that you've been trained in that. So use it for a really beneficial purpose for self and other. So that's one part. We call it the lab. And as I said, we're also helping clients see that the legal system that they're in is based in fear, but you can profit from it personally. So you can use it as a springboard for your own expansion, your choice. That's another one. And yeah, and the documents that we're infusing love into documents around the world, because we see all the documents are underpinned by fear. Let's put love into them. Love has a vibration. Let's just put it into documents. It'll infiltrate the planet that way. So as it's, you know, we've got quite a few lawyers engaged and sort of connected in with us globally. As I say, it's not a jurisdictional thing, but you can work with somebody as a lawyer. You can work with somebody in their own jurisdiction with their own lawyer who is in the system. And it's beautiful when you do that, you engage with that client's lawyer and say, okay, this is the process we're using here. And it gives that other lawyer an opening, like, oh. And it makes that lawyer's job so much easier, because that they just think, oh yeah, my client isn't really seriously, like most lawyers will hate Monday mornings if they're in family law or school holidays or whatever, because you get that all those calls, the stuff that went wrong on the weekend. Yeah. And that takes it out of, stop using me as like, you know, the sounding board for all the problems that are going on. I haven't got the time. I can't charge you for it. And this is what the problem is. So a lawyer will step back. Whereas if we're working with them as well, it's like we're helping that client say, okay, what happened on the weekend? Let's talk about that. What benefit is there for you in that? Why are you reacting that way? It has nothing to do with him. It's all to do with you. And it takes a lot. It's a whole new reprogramming. But if people are brave enough to step into the space, we're right there.
And it's again, two-sided. I love that this conversation has all these flip sides that I've managed to create here. I love that the attorney has the opportunity to evolve self also. Yes. So there's a whole, it feels like there's a possibility of this whole new movement of law and love coming into order.
Yeah. Law and love in order. That's it. And love has the most order of all. You see, this is what we're so crazy as humans. We think all these rules bring us more order, but they don't, because rule breakers will break rules no matter what. Your internal legal system, your internal laws are far more powerful than any law out there. So why do we have judges who are still engaging in sexual harassment with people? Why do we have murderers? You know, there are laws that say don't kill someone. Well, someone will still kill someone, because your internal law is more powerful than anything else anyone can say to you. And that's what we're working with, to show people that. Have compassion for the other. They're running under their own rules and they don't even know it. It's crazy. You know, just look at another human and say, oh, I see your story. Okay, this is what's happening for you. Now, I don't have to agree with what you're doing. I don't have to call that right action. But I can see, oh, my gosh, you know, this is you. This is what's going on with you. Then it diffuses the negative energy between you. Now, recently, you know, we had all that stuff going on in the Capitol. You know, we have, you know, one side and another side, and they were so against each other. And I looked at them, I thought, gee, if everyone could just see that everyone's truth is true for them, that would be a start. Because what is true for me, I might like pineapple. You don't like pineapple, for example. So pineapple is true and it's good for me. And you say it's yuck. And I can't say, no, it's good. And you have to believe me. You just think it's yuck. And that's okay. Let's start there. And then work our way from that point, because I obviously got that belief of pineapple is good for some place and you got the belief that pineapple is yuck from in some place. So it's all true. Everybody's truth is true for them. And that is what we're missing in the legal system. We're saying you are right and I am wrong. Well, it can't be that, because my truth is true and your truth is true. You are seeing something I cannot see, because that's your reality. And these are very important steps in this whole process that we're trying to educate people to say, yeah, just diffuse that negative energy between you all and ask yourself the question, oh, why is that true for you? I'm curious, why is that true for you? What makes that true for you?
And the foundational piece is that love is of the essence.
That's it. That's, and people can't often say, yeah, they can't say that word. They can't say, oh, you know, love, love. You know, how can I love someone? And I got this a lot because I was engaging on Facebook, for example, with some people that were quite in the spiritual world that were quite hateful to this thing. And I'm saying, well, can't we just love everybody? No, you don't understand. You're not, you know, of a particular nationality and a particular thing. I'm thinking, I thought, well, no one's hurt is greater than anybody else's hurt for a start.
Right.
But if you can't bring in the word love, how about the word compassion? And just say, okay, I see your truth. Let's have compassion for your truth, even if I don't believe that to be true. That's, you know. So, yeah, interesting times. And I think it's been really a highlight for people to go through all these experiences and say, okay, what? Because what do you want to continue a fight for? Have we not learned over history? It doesn't work. Fighting doesn't work.
And hate it's still not working.
We know that. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Exactly. We need a higher level of consciousness to resolve issues now. Come in, be the bigger person, see the higher perspective.
Everything shows us a way back to love, the love that we've covered up from all of our programs and beliefs from our childhood. Gosh, I was in prison ministry for 5 years here in the men's maximum penitentiary. And I drove a little smart car, and on the side of the car, I had all my filigree on. It was super, super cute. And I would drive fast and sing loud. And on the side of the car, it said, it's all about love. And I would have people stop and wave to me. But whenever I went in and out of the prison, my experience of being in there was that, like you said, we all have hurts. My hurt is no greater than yours. We all have an intrinsic love value that we may not have learned based on our programming or pollution, but there's something in there that created the seed of my I am. And having that discovery, and even if I was in the penitentiary for just 45 minutes and being able to share a message, it felt powerful. And so I would drive fast, singing really loud to fantastic music on the way home, thinking, I feel like I am being of service in the name of love. And it was very, very valuable for growth. So being of service, and I love the potential that your organization is bringing forward to take a look at what love really means and the spread of it all. Virginia, gosh, this is outstanding.
I just want to say one more thing about what, you know, lawyers, that the lawyers that are tending to still be in the system, if you like, they think that this is too wishy-washy. It's a paradox, because when you move into this space, you move into this space thinking, you know, oh, love, I won't earn money from love, or whatever it is that's what they vision as successful. But the most bizarre thing that happened to me was, as soon as I moved, I dropped all the rules. You know, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't take cane sugar, I'm a vegetarian, not quite vegan. But I moved into that space, you have no want for it. It's like all attachments drop away from you, and you are in this amazing space of peace. And it's like the world's just floating by you, and you're just experiencing it coming and going. And it's just such a different place to exist. It's a different dimension. So I think that's why it's tricky for them to step over that boundary thing. I'm not going to be successful. I won't know who I am. I've lost my identity. But it's just a funny, funny paradox. As soon as you go there, you think, what was I even thinking? You know, I don't know. Who was I before? It's crazy. So, yes, that's really something important I wanted to share.
I love that. We're just about up with our time, and I'm wondering if, well, we could go on for hours, I'm sure, but have I missed anything that you feel like you should share?
No, I don't think so. We've pretty much covered everything. The important thing is, I think that I'm trying to say to people at the moment is everything is true for everybody. If everyone can just please see that right now, because there's so much turmoil with people in dividing opinions and, you know, the racism and all these things. Don't be an activist against. Don't be against. That's a resistance. Don't hold up the resistance. Don't say this is bad. Everything is here for a reason. Understand where that person's coming from. Even if it's the worst thing you've ever seen, say, oh, I wonder how you got to be like that. I wonder how you got that to got to think that that was true for you. I think if we can just even get people into a curious state, mm-hmm. that might just diffuse some energy. That's all.
I love it. Thank you so much for your time today, Virginia. It's been so great to have you. So please repeat both of your websites, yours and the Lawyers for Love.
Yeah, mine is www.thezenlawyer.com.au. And that's just got where my book is and things like that. But I'm more active now in Lawyers for Love. So it's lawyersforlove.love. That's the important part. There's dot love on the end. So you can contact me through there. And, you know, all my stuff's up there, videos and all sorts of fun things. And, you know, I'm a bit crazy. I think life is supposed to be fun and I do laugh at it. So, you know, some people find that offensive, but, you know, it is here for the experience of it and to laugh at the human condition. So, yes, thank you so much, June.
Absolutely. I'm so grateful for your time here. Thank you. And for those of you that have listened to the podcast today, or whether you've listened or viewed us, thank you for spending your time with us. I hope that you have been able to find some takeaways that fill up your spirit, give you some ideas of possibilities of where you might be willing, possibly open to shift your own thinking around love, maybe anger, things that are holding you back, things that say, what if I did let go of this? Would I have a sense of freedom? And so making love visible is clearly what Virginia has done with her law practice. And I'm just going to say it. She's polluting the world with love. And her love, love is her germ. And so please watch again and join me for the next podcast. And I'm so grateful for all of you that have listened, and make love visible your own special way, because that's my feeling about why we are all here in the world, is to discover how to walk each other home in love. Thanks for watching, and thanks for listening. That was